We're doing the addendum to Sefer Masiyot, and Reb Nissengon says the question of the people of Sarnediv. There were 60 philosophers who lived in Sarnediv in the days of Nachum Ish Gamzu of blessed memory, and the king of Persia sent to Israel. He gathered them and he said, "Is there one among you who could scatter, who could make these philosophers leave?" So Nachum Ish Gamzu said, "I'll go and I'll get them to leave, but with a condition." So the king asked him, "What's your condition?" So Nachum Ish Gamzu said, "I need 60 ships and ropes and chains, and you have to command the sailors that they listen to me." So the king gave him that. And Nachum Ish Gamzu went to the city of Sarnediv. He left the ships and the people at the edge of the sea, and he went to, and here we have a gap, there are a few words missing, and it says he asked, "Where do the philosophers live? Where are they? Where's the house of the philosophers?" No one guided him. So he met a butcher whose expertise was in making heads. So he stood by him and he said, "I want to purchase the first head that comes out of the oven." So he asked him, "How much is it?" He said, "Such and such." He gave him the price. When the butcher reached into the oven to take out the head, so he said like this, "This is the one I bought, the first head that comes out." So he said, he said, "Do you want to hold on to that head? So I'll let you keep that head, but show me the house of the philosophers." So he said, "If I show you, we'll both get killed." So Nachum Ish Gamzu said to him, "I'll tell you how you do. Put a pile of grass on your head, and when you reach the gate, shift your head so that the leaves will fall on the gate. You don't have to tell me. That's the sign we'll make." So that's what this butcher did. Nachum Ish Gamzu came and stood by the gate. So now the man's given him a sign. He's held on to his first head, and he's given him a sign, and he comes to the gate and he says to the gatekeeper, "Tell the wise man that a wise man has come to them." So they gave him permission to enter, so he comes in. He lifts his head and he sees they're sitting in three rows. So he was wondering, what should I do? Who should I greet first? So he said, "Shalom to you, peace to you, the lowest, the highest, and the middle." And then he said, "Shalom, peace to you, the highest, the middle, and the lowest." And then he said again, "Shalom to you, the middle, and the high, and the low." He gave each one first. And when he finished giving them all shalom, before they could ask him what does he want, he said to them, "You're all invited to Brit Milah." So they said, "We want to ask you 10 questions. If you can answer them, then we have to go with you." So he said, "Fine, ask." So they asked him, "Tell us, where is the center of the world? Where is the navel, so to speak, of the world, the belly button of the world?" So he said, "The Beit HaMikdash." So they asked, "How do you know this?" So he said, "Because the waters of the Mabul, of the deluge, of the flood, they didn't cover the temple." So they said, "Tell us, where is the navel of the world? Where is the belly button of the world?" The belly button, a pupik. So he said to them again, "The Beit HaMikdash." So they said to him, "How do you know that?" So he said, "Come, we'll measure the world and you'll see that that's the navel." So they said, "Tell us, what's a greater distance? from heaven to earth or from earth to heaven? So he said to them, from heaven to earth is a greater distance. So they asked him, how do you know that? So he said, if you look at the sun looks like it's the size of a loaf of bread. And as the sun comes near earth, it seems to be getting bigger. So you see that the distance from the heaven to the earth is greater. I don't know what the proof in that was. They said when a chick dies inside the eggshell. So where does its spirit come out from? The eggshell is whole, and the chicken dies inside the eggshell. Where does the spirit come out? So he said to them, from the same place the spirit entered, the spirit goes out. They said, tell us, when you have salt that started turning bad, what do you put on it to fix it? What salt do you add to make the salt better? So he said to them, you take the placenta of a mule. A mule doesn't get pregnant, right? So it doesn't have a placenta. Salt doesn't turn bad. So they asked them a question. Now really there's more depth to these answers, but Rav Nissim Gaon doesn't say it, so we won't go into it right now. They asked him, tell us, if you have a portion of earth that knives grew in it, what do you use to harvest it? So he said, you use the horns of donkeys. They said to him, take these rechaim, this mill, and we want you to cut for us a garment with this mill, with these grinding stones. So he said to them, fine, but first you take these grinding stones and you make me some string from it. They said, we want you to build us a house in the air. So he said, fine, you give me the stones and the tools to begin the building and I'll build. They said, there's a well outside in the yard, bring it into the yard. So he said, here's a date, make a rope so I could pull it with the rope. They said to him, when you have a spoke that goes in the ground, when you make a furrow, so where does the earth go? So he said to them, it goes the same place that a woman's hymen goes. They said, okay, you answered us all our questions. Now we feel obligated to go with you. So obviously there was more depth to each of these questions. Our sages go into what the question was and what the answer was, what they were alluding to about what happened to the Jewish people and whether they're the chosen ones. That's what they said about salt that turns bad. And he answered them with a mule. Our sages go into what were the discussions here, that there was more depth. It wasn't just a game of challenges back and forth. So he's talking about the virginity of a woman. There's a lot going on here about religion that was alluded to in this Midrash. But let's go back. So they felt like he answered them well, and they said, we have to come with you. So he said to you, you're wise men. I want to take you one by one. But you guys decide who should go first. And he took them one by one and brought them to the ship. And he told the sailor, each one that he placed on the ship, he told the sailor, go off. And he was worried that if he has them all together, they'll unify against him and they'll overpower him. In the end, he was left with one of the wise men in the ship. And together they went to a place in the sea that's called Agam Bolea Hamayim. And that's what's called waters that were swallowed. So this is a concept, again, the Medrash tells us a concept which is difficult to understand. But this was some type of water that used to absorb every other water. That's the concept, that's what the Medrash says. So I guess some kind of black hole. So they took, he reached that point in the water, and he took a pitcher of water from that water. And then they continued till they reached the city of the king. Now, he had all 60 wise men being brought to the king. The king had said, I want a Jew to be able to outsmart these 60 wise men and bring them before me get them out of that city. So that's what he did. And he sent word to the king that they arrived. So they, when they're standing before the king asked them, how were you all outsmarted? So they said, when the lot decrees, so then even understanding gets hidden. So the king turned to the Jews and says, doesn't the Torah say that one who murders gets the death penalty? These wise men, they've killed many people. What's the law? What should we do with them? So Nachum Ish Gamzu said, I say that we should rule upon them that they should fill this pit with water. And the condition is that until they fill that with water, they are not allowed to eat anything. And I'll bring the first pitcher of water and pour it in. And the wise men agreed to that. Now, he had this water that would absorb anything else that was put into it. So he puts that water in the pit. And every time all 60 men would bring water and put it in the pit, they got absorbed. So they brought more and more and more, and it never got filled. So all the men were taken out to the sea, and they all were lost. So the king said to the Jews, if you have such wisdom, why don't you guys have the throne? Why aren't you kings? Why are you in this dire state? So they said, if God didn't take the throne from us, you wouldn't be king. God decided to take the throne from us, but otherwise you wouldn't be king. They brought Nachum Ish Gamzu back, and one time they found a Jew who was having an affair with one of their women. They brought the woman and the guy before the judge, and they said, "This is, we found them doing such and such." So, what? They were having an affair. She was a married woman, and she was going with a Jew. And so they caught them. They brought them before the judge, and they said, "This is what we found them doing." So they said, "Okay, declare on them that this is the portion of a person that's found with an animal." So the man said, "Don't say that you found me with an animal. Don't say I was doing that. I was with one of you. I know that in your eyes, they're like donkeys, and that's why they set you up in judgment." So the judge said, "When you finish taking testimony, bring him before me." When they brought him before him, so the story is like this. Nachum Ish Gamzu said, "This guy had an affair with a non-Jewish woman, a married non-Jewish woman. Take him out and punish him and declare that he was found with an animal." So he said, "What do you mean? She wasn't an animal, she's a human." "Oh, you Jews talk about the non-Jews as though they're animals." So he wanted to go and tell the courts about it. So when they brought him back, the judge said, after his punishment, he's going to go and tell the throne, the authorities about me, and then he'll have me killed, because he'll say, he's talking about you as animals. So he took a stick and killed him. The king heard that this Jewish judge killed an individual. So the king's advisors said, "We're not going to let you stay on the throne if you let there be a judge who thinks that we're all like donkeys." So the king said to them, "What do you want? She behaved like an animal. She let herself go with people that she's not allowed to. We'd also think she's an animal." So they said, "We don't buy that." So he said, "I'm scared of him. He can bring on us a bad judgment, and you won't know to answer him. And we could have a difficult case come before us, and you won't know how to rule. And then we'll need their wisdom." So one of the wise men who was advising the king said, You set me as the judge, and if I'll ever need them, you kill me. I'm willing to bet I will never need the wisdom of the Jews." So they fired Nachum Ish Gamzu, and this wise man became the judge. Nachum Ish Gamzu went home to his wife, and he told her, "Go to your father's family." So she asked, "Why are you sending me home?" So he told her, "The king just fired me." So his wife said, my father didn't want you for your wealth. He wanted you for your wisdom and your elevated stature before Hashem. And how could the Jews be willing to give up on you? So he told her, I didn't want you because of your beauty. I wanted you because you're the daughter of a wise man who's humble. So he said to her, maybe you have some of your father's wisdom. And he told her what happened and that he was worried what the authorities would do to him. And she said, okay, tomorrow I'm going to go and make you back in your position. And I'll destroy the one who took your position as judge. The next morning she calls her son. She took the son and went to the king's gate. And she said, I'm asking you that I should be under the protection of Hashem and under the protection of the king. So they brought her before the king, and she said, may God give you longevity, the king. I am a Jewish woman. I had a husband. He died. He left me a slave. They used to work all summer long, and I used to get the profit, and I'd live off that profit in the winter, and I'd skin him and make fur for my children. And then this slave has been stolen from me, and they broke his neck, they skinned his skin, and they're using my servant, and I'm not getting the wages. So she's making up a story. Obviously you can't skin a human and he'll stay alive, but that's the story she made up. Her case was brought before the king, and he called in the judge, and he told the judge, okay, you judge this case, and I want to see how you rule on this case. So the judge looked into it, and he said, this is impossible. This is a Jewish plot. So the king says, and if I call the Jewish judge, Nachum Ish Gamzu, and he rules differently, what are we going to do? So the judge said, break my neck. So they called Nachum Ish Gamzu, and they told him, you rule. So Nachum Ish Gamzu looked into it and started laughing. And he said, my master the king, I've yet to see a fool like this woman. All she's asking is, she had a palm tree. That's her slave. And she used to take its fruit and hide it to feed her children. What about its skin? Those are the branches that come down from the palm every year. She used to hold on to them and use them to heat up all winter long. That's what she means, that she used to use them as fur to cover up her children. Now what'd she say? They got upset at him and they uprooted him. That's they cut down her palm tree. That's what she said. They cut the neck of her slave. And she said they took off its hide. They peeled off all the branches and they didn't leave her off anything. And they used the palm as a pipe. They carved it hollow and they're using it to water their gardens. And she's asking, you know what? Pay me back the wages of my tree. Pay me back what it was worth to me. So the king said, she gave a wise allegory. Nachum Ish Gamzu was able to figure out what she was talking about. This judge didn't. Cut off his head, and Nachum Ish Gamzu should go back to be judge. And that was the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu, how his wife got him his job back.